Grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. Those are Paul's words to young Pastor Titus. And to be sure, Titus was going to need the grace and peace of Christ Jesus for the task that was set before him. Titus could tell you a thing or two about the rigors of serving an intimidating congregation with difficult people. Despite its ancient culture and geographic splendor, Crete was not exactly an easy place for Titus to break in his pastoral sandals. Paul didn't paint a very complimentary picture of the Christians he had left in Crete in the care of Titus. In Paul's own words, verse 10, he says, "There are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers, and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party." Titus was going to need all the grace and peace he could get. And what was more, Titus wasn't overseeing just one congregation, but as Paul tells him, verse 5, "I left you in Crete so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town." This, too, was part of Titus's challenge. Paul gives a very clear list of qualifications for men aspiring to the office of overseer. And given the defiant disposition of the Cretans, those overseers were going to need the highest qualifications emotionally, spiritually, and theologically. Thus, Titus was going to have to be extra vigilant, extremely diligent, and entirely intelligent about the elders he appointed. The responsibility upon this rookie pastor was no small thing. Wait a minute here. On second thought, maybe this wasn't all that bad, at least maybe not from the perspective of a seminarian. In fact, I think this may have been a seminarian's dream call. Think about it. Call day comes, you stand in line, your name is called, but you don't hear assistant pastor, or associate pastor, or sole pastor. You don't even hear the prized position of senior pastor. Instead, you hear the esteemed title of bishop. And then you're handed a diploma of vocation for an entire Mediterranean island. What a dream call! Imagine the view from the district office. Some guys get all the breaks. Or maybe not. Lest his ego swell too big, Paul grounds Titus in the reality that he's serving a bunch of poor, miserable sinners. In fact, he quotes a writer from Crete as saying, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons." Still today, the word Cretan is used to describe someone who's being an imbecile or an idiot. You fourth-year men probably won't find much language like that about your congregation in your package on call night. Yes, Titus was going to need every ounce of grace and mercy from the Lord Jesus Christ to fulfill this noble task. And so are you. Even Cretans, after all, are souls for whom our Lord Christ died. All those insubordinate, empty-talking deceivers in Crete were precious in his sight. Just as precious as every person you'll be privileged to serve in the pastoral or diaconal ministry. Yes, you will need grace and peace to serve God's people. But you will also need the grace and peace of Christ our Lord right here, right now in your life. You need it because you and I are a bunch of Cretan-like sinners. The facades that we dress up in and put on are so delightfully seductive. It feels safe to hide behind a haughty, prim, and proper demeanor. Yet sin, no matter how it is dressed up, is sin. Which means that a sinner, no matter how you are dressed up, be it in a collar, a coat, or as a Cretan, no matter how you are dressed up, you are still a sinner. We are just as prone to be liars, evil beasts, and gluttons. And sin has a way of breaking through the facade of any seminary student, husband, wife, pastor, professor, or deaconess that we may try to put on. It breaks through the facade right along with all of the stinking pain, the hurt, and the sorrow that comes with it. And then the devil, the world, and your sinful flesh press down upon you and assault you and oppress you and try to beat the living hope right out of you. Yes, like Titus, like the people of Crete, you need the grace and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And like the Cretans, you are precious in God's sight. As they had Titus to bring them grace and peace from our Lord Christ, today the Lord makes use of my mouth and my hands to bring to you that very same grace and that very same peace as you hear his living word and as you receive his life-giving flesh and blood. So, beloved in the Lord, hear the good news. You who long for forgiveness, you who ache for healing, you who are desperate for hope, you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, hear the good news. Christ Jesus loves you day in and day out. Amid every failure, fear, and fault of your life, you live under his banner of grace that says, "It is finished." Christ has conquered. His blood has been shed. He's paid your price. He forgives your sins, and he brings you peace, even on this very day. Liars, gluttons, deceivers, and insubordinates, along with every other repentant sinner on the face of this planet, are greeted with the grace and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, on the cross of Calvary, he took onto himself all of your pain, all of your sorrow, and all of your grief. He took into himself all of your sins, all of your cruelty, and all of your guilt. And then he took upon himself all of your shame and all of your failures, and then buried them in his tomb of death, taking them far away from you. And in so doing, he rescues you from your facades and your false beliefs. He removes your deceit and your despair, and he eradicates all of your shame and vice. And in their place, he lavishes you with his irreversible love. He baptizes you into his resurrection power, and he feeds you his very body and blood to send his everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness coursing through your veins. And he'll do it on this very day. That's the pure, unadulterated, 200-proof good news of the gospel. It's full of grace. It's full of peace. Revel in it. Rejoice in it. Leave here refreshed by it. And live in it all your days. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.